I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Biggie from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to this edition of Run with Coach Parry. I'm Brad Brown. It's good to be with you, and things slightly different. You might pick up a different sound on today's podcast. Well, as we deal with rolling blackouts here in South Africa, I'm having to record this on my cell phone. So as none of my recording equipment is currently working because our power is out. So apologies for that. Show must go on, as they say. And today on the podcast, we catch up with one of the members of the Coach Parry Online Training Club, Matthew Tatham, who's training for Comrades this year. And we put a plan together with him to help him to the start line and beyond, Comrades, this year. So that's all coming up on today's podcast. It is also brought to you by Biogen once again today. Your chance to win up for grabs. We've got a Biogen hamper plus 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club. And all you need to do is let us know what you're training for, what you need help with, and we could be making you a winner. All you need to do to qualify is make sure that you use the hashtag BiogenJourney on the various social media platforms. Pop us a post and let us know what you're up to, and we could be selecting you as a winner. We'll announce our next winner towards the end of today's podcast as well, so make sure you stick around for that. Coming up on the other side of this, we catch up with Matthew. Well, we head to Howick, just north of Pietermaritzburg, to catch up with our next guest today, Matthew Tatham. Matthew, welcome on to Run with Coach Parry. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Brad.
I love these chats. It's probably the highlight of my week, because I get to chat to people who are my tribe, essentially. And I love doing these things. We've got our running coach, Marcus van Niekerk, with us once again as well. Marcus, how's it?
Hey, Brad. Thank you so much for having me. I'm good, thanks.
Awesome. Great to hear. Matt, before we get into sort of hooking you up with Marcus to help sort of with your goals and that sort of thing, tell me a little bit about you, sort of how beautiful part of the world. For those who run Comrades, they'll know Howick well, because on the down run, the H batch, that's what the H stands for. You actually start in Howick. That's why it takes so long to get over the start line. I'm actually only joking. For the novices, you don't start in Howick, just if you before you start panicking. Tell us a little bit about your running background. How did you get into the sport?
I've enjoyed running and endurance sports for a long time. Since school, I've been paddling and doing doozy and that kind of thing. And then running sort of been in the family for a long time. My uncle's got a double green Comrades. The old man's got, I think, 6 or 7. My brother-in-law's done a couple. So it was sort of just time for me to get involved and keep going. I've always enjoyed it. I was listening to one of your podcasts with one of the Aussie guys the other day, and I think I've got the same mentality as him. He only gets better when the race gets longer and all the other guys pull out. So that's sort of where the endurance side of things has come from. I've always enjoyed running. It's been one of those things that I can get out and do relatively well. I'm not challenging for places or anything, but you can have a good time doing it and just relax and meet people and have fun.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the family history with Comrades, but also living where you live, even though it's not on the Comrades route. Comrades is a massive part of culture in KZN. It's like, I don't think there's anybody in KwaZulu-Natal who hasn't run Comrades or knows someone who's run Comrades.
No, absolutely. And as Lati is sort of, you grew up knowing about Comrades. You'd go to school and, as you say, someone's dad or someone's brother or someone's mum was running. You just know all about it, and you know that come June, the streets are going to be chaos. If it's an up run, don't even bother going anywhere because it's just runners everywhere. And you buy into it. You might not have anything to do with it, might for 1 year not know too many people doing it, but off you go out there, you take your cooler box, your chairs, and you watch and you cheer guys on as they come past.
Yeah, and you can't help but be inspired by that. You mentioned the doozy as well for people who don't know. I mean, I think South Africans are probably aware of what the doozy is, but we've got quite a big international listenership as well. We spoke, I think it was last week or the week before on the podcast, we were speaking about a cycling race called the Amashova, which is basically the Comrades down run on a bicycle. So you're going down the mine shaft, down Bothas Hill and Fields Hill. But the doozy is a canoe marathon, which is basically the Comrades route, but the river that runs through the Valley of a Thousand Hills, the Umsunduzi River, I think it is. And it ends in the estuary, just north of the Moses Mabhida Stadium. It washes out basically into the sea. It's a 3-day event, if I recall correctly. And there's quite a few portages too. So there's some running involved that you end up carrying your canoe. How many of those have you done, Matt?
Yeah, so I've done 4 doozies. This year was the first one I've done in a K1. There's 120 Ks over 3 days. And day one, as you say, there's a lot of running. I think I clocked up, it's just under 9 Ks of running with your boat on day one.
Wow.
And day two is a lot less. And then day three, depending on if you choose to paddle the Fun Rapids or go over the top of Burma Road, then you run a bit more. So, all in all, it's probably close to 15 Ks of running with your boat on doozy.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's one of those things too. I think South Africans is something, I don't know if it's something we've got a wire that's misfiring in our heads or something that we want to do these sorts of events, but there's lots of them. And I think doozy is one that, like Comrades, is on a lot of people's bucket list. And it's definitely on mine. I've never paddled a boat in my life, but I think doozy is something I want to do. So I might have to have words with you after this at some other stage, but tell me about your build up to Comrades 2019. How are you feeling? How are things going so far?
So it's going nicely at the moment. I'm pretty confident. I've been following Lindsay's sub 10-hour training program. I was coming out of doozy, I was a bit concerned. I'd spent a lot of time focusing on paddling and far less on running than I felt that perhaps I should be for Comrades. So I finished doozy, and that's actually when I joined up with you guys. I saw that, I think it was a Comrades roadmap or something, and then did a bit more reading and then joined up for the full thing, because I just felt that time was running out. Most guys, like what's, I think is that saying 900 to 1,200 Ks from January to race day. And I felt with doozy being mid-Feb, I'd fallen short of that a bit. So I needed to make sure that everything I do from now is quality and it's perfect. You go stand around O'Brien, South Africa, and 15 of the 16 guys there will give you advice on how to finish Comrades. And I just felt I needed to consolidate, bring everything back together and find out what was happening. So at the moment I've been following it and I'm feeling pretty confident, a lot better than I was 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm going to bring Marcus in here too, because I think this is a great sort of starting point that we can go from. Obviously, Matt, you coming into the sort of main window of Comrades training with a bit of an aerobic base from the paddling. So you might not have been running. So physically, your body might not have been as sore as out-and-out runners coming into it, but you had that fitness base coming in. So I think that's a big advantage. We often talk about cross-training. Marcus, how big an advantage has Matt got coming into the sort of the big January to Comrades window, having sort of doozy training under his belt and then after doozy picking up Comrades training?
Thanks, Brad. So I think it's a good thing, and I couldn't agree with you more with regard to the reference to the aerobic fitness that he has. What I definitely would do in your case, Matt, is just to incorporate some gym work to make up for what you haven't been doing, and then obviously just following the program. You mentioned something very interesting now, and you couldn't have said it better. 15 out of the 16 people standing around the bar is going to give you advice, and that is super dangerous. If you if you're already unsure about what you've done, what you ought to do, and how you're going to get to Comrades, you couldn't have said it better. Just focus on one source of information and move on from there. The fact that you're feeling way better now compared to 2 weeks ago, yes, once again, it tells us that you do have that aerobic fitness, and you just need to keep on plugging away. Focus on what's on the program. If that gets difficult, then you need to, you know, step back and say, listen, is this my year? But from what I've heard, from what I've read on your online questionnaire, and whether you're a big guy or not, the fact is you're an active guy, and that's what makes a difference. If you came from being a professional couch potato to wanting to run Comrades with absolutely no history, I'd say, let's see how the training goes and make a call from there, but it's not the case. So get your info from our website, read the comments in the forum, follow the program. If you do have questions, then pop them into the forum. But I've got hopes for you finishing the race, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can just jump in there, then we'll get onto your questions, Matt. Is Lindsay and I always talk about this being the case. Is like you say, there are so many people who've run Comrades, and I think it's very much a South African. I don't want to call it a problem, but it is an issue because everyone's run Comrades, everyone's willing to give advice, and it's a cool community. But the problem is you can't run a race like Comrades on consensus of getting buy-in from 40 different coaches. And we always say it, we're not the only people who talk about Comrades and running Comrades, but if you're going to follow someone's advice, give yourself the best shot and follow that person's advice. If you've got any questions, go to that person because they wrote the program. And that's why we've built what we've built at Coach Parry, is to give people the opportunity to literally plug themselves directly into the matrix, whether it be Marcus or Lindsay, because those are the guys that are actively involved in writing the program. So you don't have to look at a program and then go and ask your mate who ran Comrades in 1980 in a pair of tennis tackies, what he thinks of a 2-hour long run. He's going to tell you, no. In his day, they used to walk barefoot in the snow to school and back before they were 10. So you should be running at least double that. So that's why we've built what we've built, is to give people like the average guy, like you, direct access to the coach. So you're in the right place, in case you're wondering. We're glad you're with us. Let's get some of your challenges and give you the support that you need between now and race day. What are you sort of struggling with? Let's hand it over to you. You've got some time with Marcus. What can we help you with?
Okay, great. Marcus, my first sort of question that I've got here is, how do I pace my Comrades and my qualifying marathon? So I'm going to do the Deloitte 42 in Durban, which is weekend after this, the 17th. Okay. And I understand the concept of go out easy. So, and then try and run a negative or an equal split and that kind of thing. But for me, being essentially brand new to marathon running, I've done one. And that was really just to know that I could do it. And what is easy? Are my training paces in this program, I think it's easy, or long runs of 5:50 to 6:25. Are those the easy paces that I should look to set out at, or do I go slower, or how does that equate to race pace?
Okay. So let's first confirm, which program are you on?
I'm on the sub 10 hour Comrades.
Okay, and what is your marathon PB?
Well, 4:18 is the only marathon I've done. I did that in October last year. And I went into that very much with the idea of all I want to do is get to the end, because it was the first marathon I'd done.
Okay.
And what I was most petrified of was running it and not enjoying it. And then thinking, oh dear, now what?
Okay.
So I went out there very relaxed and yeah.
Okay. So look, if you want to do a sub 10 hour Comrades, you should be able to do a marathon in 4 hours. So if you do a marathon in 4 hours, your goal pacing should be about 5:40, 5:41 per kilometer. Okay. What's important is that if you start the race and it feels uncomfortable from the get-go, just make peace with the fact that you have already qualified for Comrades and you're just going to do it as a training run. Or even if you do push a bit in the race, having so little experience, it's quite, it could be very rewarding, or it could be a big failure. If you aim too high, shoot yourself in the foot in the process and you end up walking the last 12 kilometers, because that's not going to do much for your confidence either. So what I would suggest is get the idea of start slow, finish strong out of your head, and rather say, look, if I want to do a four, okay, let's go on a 3:58. For argument's sake, just give me a second. Yeah. Okay. So if we work on a 3:58, that's at 5:38, minutes per kilometer. That should be your pace. If you're not used to running at that pace, then probably you're going to find it quite difficult to get to that. Just out of interest, you said your easy running pace is what at the moment?
I'm doing, it's between 5:55 and 6:25.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. And how do you find those paces?
Very, very easy. I was actually looking at my, this Garmin Connect beforehand. And okay. For example, on Sunday, I did it and I didn't get out of, aerobic. So I didn't go into anything anaerobic at all during that hour and a half. So.
Okay. Yeah. So look, if you really want to try and get that sub four, aim for anything between a 5:38 and a 5:40 per kilometer pace. That is very important. Okay. And then, is there a second part to your question? Let me just quickly check. Yeah. Sorry. On my laptop. Okay. And then then the second part of your question is referring to your comrades pacing. That we can determine at a later stage. Just because you might surprise yourself and run a 3:50 come Sunday, or you might not be able to make it at all. And then, I don't want to get too excited too soon and tell you, okay, look, I do think you can get a 10-hour marathon and we can work off that. Look, you can always play around on the Comrades Marathon app. It's got a pace calculator there, but even now, doing it now is going to be way too premature. Let's rather wait for a month before the time and then get really specific about that. If you're making major gains, that's awesome. Then we can, pop some questions into the forum. We can answer those for you. But for now, let's take baby steps. You've come from you're on the back foot with regards to doing the doozy. Moving on from there, we need to get you to do this marathon. If we can get you to do an ultra before the race, that'll be awesome. And slowly but surely, set one goal after the other. And once we get to a month out from comrades and we see what your shape is like, you can do a time trial. And from there, one can calculate and say, look, you should be able to do a marathon based on your time trial. You should be able to do a marathon let's say 3:45. And based on that, you should be able to do a 9:45 comrades. So then we can get way more specific.
Okay. And then in terms of breaking your race up, is it a good idea to say for the marathon, let's stick with that, to go to halfway and then to the finish? Or do you sort of break it up into smaller increments and do say 10Ks or 5Ks? I noticed on one of the other podcasts, Brad, I think you were talking to one of the quicker guys. And he was saying he goes until 8Ks and then decides whether or not he's got anything more. Is that a wise way for me to do it, or rather just sort of say, right, you've got to go between 5:40 and 5:38 and just try and cruise along at the same sort of speed there?
Before Marcus jumps in there, if I can just add the way I break it up, and I'm sure Marcus is going to, but I break mine up into 7K segments. So for a half, if I was doing a half marathon, it would be 3 7K segments. If it's a marathon, it's obviously 6. I just find for me the maths is easier to work out. But Marcus, your take on it?
Yeah, Brad. Whether it's 5 or 7, for me, 5 will just have more time checks. Yeah. 7 is a nice round number because then
it
you
fits
get
into
21.
Yeah.
But if, once again, taking your situation into account, I would stick to the average pacing. Look, you're going to slow down slightly when it comes to uphills. You're going to pick some pace up when you go downhill. But for me, the most important part is 8Ks is quite a big number for a novice to start putting the hammer down. Yeah. What I would do, though, because for me, the magic number in a marathon is 36 to 38 kilometers. That's usually when people's wheels come off. If you're still feeling fresh between 36 and 38, then I believe, from 38 onwards, you can go crazy. If you want to run yourself into the ground, then so be it. The other thing that we also need to take into consideration is the harder you push in this marathon, the more it's going to affect your training the week post-race. And that's something that we can't really compromise on at the moment, coming from the fact that you've only really started focusing on running post-doozy. So I had more or less the same situation as yours. Last year I did some running and then I had to focus on mountain biking for the Cape Epic. And there came a point where I couldn't do running at all. I just focused on cycling. And then after that, took some time off. And then I basically said, okay, that's me. I now had to start running. So I didn't do any races hard. And my hard sessions were also very limited. So it's more about getting the training done, getting the distance done, than opposed to just, basically just running yourself into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, if I can add something in there too as well, though, Matt, one thing, and I know this from hanging out with Lindsay as much as I do. At this stage in Comrades training, the difference between running, and I'm just talking about from a physical perspective, you could run a 4:10 marathon, let's say, for example, and it could feel really easy and you feel great the week after and you can pick up your training as per normal, or you can go and smash a sub-4 marathon as hard as you can, but it's going to impact your training post-marathon. So that 10 minutes at this stage, you want to go out of that marathon feeling confident that you go, you know what? I ran a 4:10 marathon. I could have easily, just feeling wise, I know I could have gone under 4 hours. You're going to get more benefit from a confidence perspective, knowing that you could have done it, but you haven't damaged yourself. You can carry on training afterwards, as opposed to smashing it, going under 4 hours, being broken, and you think to yourself, gee, I've got to go and do another one of those things, plus a park run afterwards. From a confidence perspective, in my mind, at this stage in Comrades training, it's way more important than going under 4 hours, for instance. I don't know if Marcus agrees on that.
100%. 100%.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. And in terms of then the seeding, because obviously the reason I was looking at 4 is because that puts you ahead of the green number batch, I think it is, as opposed to behind it. Does that in your run, or is it not too big a issue?
It's actually a good question, and one that I don't really have an answer for. I've just found that, look, running from Durban to Maritzburg, the starting pin is a slightly bit more tighter for me, as opposed to the opposite. But it's something that I'll actually have to ask Lindsay about, because look, the green runner numbers could be very fast runners, or they could be people that just for the fact of being a green number runner, they're in that pin.
Yeah.
So it's actually something that I haven't really thought about in the past. It's a really valid question. What I'll do is I'll just chat to Lindsay about it, and I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, man. Again, if I can jump in there, because I was involved with the Comrades charity side of things too. So that obviously that C-batching with the charity allows you to do that leapfrog without actually running. So it's not just the green number club. You also have to factor those guys into it. And a lot of them are like me, who's never going to come close to running a sub-4-hour marathon. So there obviously is some impact where you are behind guys that are generally slower than what you would be. I don't think the impact is as big as people make it out to be, especially like Marcus says, on the uprun, because you're coming out of Durban and the roads are a lot wider than Maritzburg, and you wash out onto the highway pretty early on. So to get past those people is pretty simple. But I'm going to put a shameless plug in here, because I was the brains behind it. You can also just raise yourself $6,000 for charity, one of the Comrades charities, and then you can be in front of the Green Number Club, and that solves that problem. And you don't have to then smash the marathon and kill yourself to try and get under 4 hours. So if you want to find out more about that, comrades.com, all the details are there.
Nah, yeah. The funny thing is, I'm already running for one of those charities anyway. Well,
there you go. Six grand. No, all you need to do is... Yeah, all you need to do is find 100 oaks to give you $60 or 10 oaks to give you $600, and there's problem solved.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. As far as the speed on the training runs and things like that, I know a lot of guys have asked questions like this, and it sort of feels like it's quite slow. And I just think about to how I was training before I joined this forum. And I used to, it was very macho training. If you're not running as fast as you can, then I sort of felt like I was wasting my time. How is that one interval session a week or every 2 weeks or something like that? Is that enough to sort of help you build speed? Or when do you not even worry? I suppose if you're doing Comrades, do you not worry about speed too much? Or how do I check if I'm getting quicker or if I'm actually getting slower and just more, sustainable, I suppose.
Okay. So just going back to that. So let's say we fall back, or we look back at the 3 hour marathon, 4 hour marathon, and also in line with the 10 hour Comrades. So if we take a 4 hour Comrades into account, let me just quickly do this and be exact. Yeah. Okay. So if we look at the pace categories then something's not right in there. Okay. That's 4 hours. So that's 4 hours 58. I should have done 4 hours flat. Okay. Let me calculate. Okay, here we go. Okay, so if I work on it then, if I work on a 4-hour marathon, your training phase should be anything between 5:40 and 6:10. That's for your easy runs. Your long run should be 5:40 to 6:20. And your recovery runs 6:20 to about, or make it, you can make it 6:10 to about 6:30. Now what's important is that if you don't have access to something like Thermometer, is that you use your heart rate as cross-reference. So unless your heart rate is abnormally higher than normal or lower, then you take 180 minus your age. And that should be your average after easy or long run. If you want a reference for recovery runs, it should be 175 minus your age. And that's a very, very good reference. I hope I haven't, mentioned or told the story too many times before, but so just to put things into perspective, when I started training for my first comrades, my heart rate was supposed to be 148 beats per minute based on the 180 minus your age. So it was supposed to be 148, and I started off running at about 525, 530 per kilometer at 152 beats a minute. So it was actually 4 beats faster or higher than I should have been doing. But coming from the way I used to train to this concept that I was trying to experiment with, I was just told myself I was not going to run any slower than that. So that was in October 2016. And I just kept on running and I followed that philosophy. And by the time Lindsay and I did our last run for comrades, it was in a suburb here called Linwood. And we comfortably ran at 440 per kilometer at about 142 beats a minute. So my heart rate had dropped by 10 beats, but my pace had dropped by about 40 to 45, 50 beats, seconds per kilometer. So it was, I always say engine first, speed second. There on the day, it's more about covering a distance than doing it in a specific or at a specific pace. Yes, speed will help you, or speed work will help you. The hill repeats is gold. So that you really need to stick to, and that you need to get done. And like we mentioned in another episode previously, hill works is a form of speed work and strength work combined. So that is really good for you. So don't ever miss or underestimate the power of just running at the highest level or at the highest or fastest pace, but still being aerobic. As soon as you go anaerobic, you're busy defying the purpose. Don't go there.
Okay.
Cool.
And then just in terms of mechanics, would you, as you do that more and more, will you get faster and stay aerobic?
For sure. For sure. That's the whole thing. So by my heart rate coming down back in the day in 2017, I mean, I was even more aerobic than I was when I started training, but my pace once again was about 40 to 50 seconds faster per kilometer. Yeah. So that is the whole idea. That's the concept of developing that engine.
Okay. And then sticking with that, with those times for that 4-hour marathon, should I be, so I put it on the forum a while ago that I'm doing this Deloitte marathon now and asked Lindsay how should manipulate the calendar, because they had a training marathon, I think this last weekend. And he told me which way to do it. Should I change my long run speeds from 5:50 to 6:25 and bring them down to 5:40 and 6:10?
Okay, good question. So what I would do is, once again, I'd use the 180 minus my heart, minus my age as a cross reference.
Yeah.
Your body will tell you. So just another example. My mother-in-law is now almost 60 years of age and she's been running for as long as she can remember. But she's been running incorrectly for as long as she can remember as well, because she had a pace what she perceived to be easy. And then one day after a few questions, I said, well, I discovered that the difference between her easy pace and her race pace is there's barely a difference. And that's the problem. And that's why she also got sick often, because your mind thinks it's easy, but your body definitely doesn't think it easy. So time and time again, you're beating your immune system. And before you know it, you're going to be sidelined. And that's what you also don't want, especially if you're working on a tight schedule, referring to time available from after doozy till comrades.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Now that makes sense.
Awesome. Matt, we're unfortunately out of time. I know Marcus needs to shoot, but yeah, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. And then just finally, I mean, obviously you've been with us for a little while now on the Coach Parry training platform. Your experience, what are you enjoying about it?
Brad, I think, to be honest, I think it's absolutely brilliant. What I've liked is, as I said, the sort of quality and to the point advice, and it's from guys that you know what they're talking about. So you can just log on and you get everything in one place. I mean, the strength training stuff, the nutrition stuff, advice from the likes of Marcus and Lindsay. And it's just, yeah, I remember you saying in one of your earlier podcasts that I listened to that it's your new go-to on your social media and stuff. And I've actually found that I've started to do the same thing. First thing, wake up, check what's happening in the forums, not even bothering about anything else.
Yeah.
So now I've had some.
I love it. Yeah, it's weird. I'm so over the rest of it. It's such a positive, cool, positive environment. So yeah, Matt, we love having you in there. Keep the questions coming. You ask such great questions in the forum, and best of luck for Deloitte. It's a great marathon, and yeah, let's see how you go. Let us know how it goes. If you've got any questions in the build up to it, ask them, and yeah, we look forward to seeing how you go at it, and then obviously in the rest of the build up to Comrades. Best of luck.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks very much, Brad. Thanks for your help, Marcus. That was great. Thank you.
It's a big pleasure and all the best. And I'm super jealous of you living in Howick because it's most probably one of the most beautiful areas in this country.
No, it is awesome. And we've got water here too.
Yeah. Well, that might have just stepped on toes, Brad's toes.
No, we've got water. It's raining in Cape Town today as we record this. So it's all good.
Oh, okay. Lekker.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we've had a little bit.
Good.
Awesome. And that's it for this edition of Run with Coach Parry. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you very much to Matthew and the coach as well. And I mentioned at the top of the show that we'll be announcing the next winner in our Biogen Journey competition. We've been following James Hobbo Hobson's journey to Ironman 70.3 in Durbs in June. He's doing great things. And we'll have an update from Hobbo soon on the podcast as well. But today's winner is Benita Freeman Boyson, who posted on Facebook saying, "Running comrades, I've started to use the Biogen PerformX, loving it. Best part is it's very low in sugar. Also use the recovered drink. I love using Biogen." Well, Benita, there is a Biogen hamper on its way to you, and 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club as well. So congratulations. And before I go, I wanted to share another win out of the forums, the success forums on the Coach Parry Online Training platform. And it's someone who we spoke to on the podcast not so long ago, and I'm talking about Trevor Smith, and I love this. He said, "Well, my intent wasn't to make this a Trevor's PB thread, but yes, I've managed to run another one, a 22 flat at Diamond Creek," talking about a park run. "It's a 17-second improvement, so that's 30-odd seconds since the beginning of December. My general form is now approaching career best. A 44.57 10K was probably the previous peak back in 2012, which is awesome. I've lost 9 kilograms post-comrades last year, which has also been a massive help. But the improvement owes more and more to the little slave driver, Marcus, and his program and coaching. The easy pace volume plus the scarily hard speed sessions are doing the trick." Trevor, I'm so glad to hear things are going well, and we can't wait to see how you go at comrades this year as well. And yeah, we can't wait to hear your success story in the success forums. Keep them coming. I love sharing them here on the podcast, and hopefully they fire you up to train harder and do more. And don't forget, if you do need help, all you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join.